So this Lenten season is a season of repentance. It's a penitential season. And to help us better understand that, I'm just going to give a hypothetical illustration to show us in some way how we can kind of go off the track when it comes to this repentance. Let's say the hypothetical situation is it's Christmas morning and my kids are really little and I actually get them something that they want, that they really want. Not like my Christmases, which were kind of something I didn't really care for, and then underwear. That was, you know, Christmas at the Shaver house. But no, this is something, it's like an Xbox or something, right? Let's say it's the first one he ever got. And he comes down there and he opens up and we save it for the last package and give it to him, and he opens it up and he sees the Xbox and he takes the Xbox, turns away, and walks upstairs with it. And I'd say, hey, you know, how about a little something for the effort here, you know? Aren't you going to say something? And he turns to me and he says, well, what should I say? I go, I don't know, thank you? And he says, well, why would I say thank you? I said, because I gave it to you. And he would say, well, yes, you gave it to me, but if I have to thank you for giving it to me, you have to thank me for receiving it. Now, if he said that, what do you think the next 5-6 Christmases would be like? It would be all underwear Christmas, okay? Not new ones either. But of course, he would never say something like that. Why would he say that, right? There's no kid in the world that's going to say that. If they get a gift they really want, they automatically say thank you. Multiple times, yes. They even get along with their sister for a little while. That's an amazing miracle. But now, when I saw that I had these words of Christ, I was like, oh, man, you know, that's kind of rough. In my opinion, these words, and this text is one of the more disturbing ones in the New Testament. Certainly, you can say the crucifixion is very disturbing and Jesus being beaten and all that. And yet, this is so horribly public. I mean, it was just a few hours before this that Peter was bragging that he wouldn't deny Jesus. And then he just completely just blows it, right? In fact, if you want to be technical about it, I've thought about this for many years, and I really think I'm right. What Peter does here is worse than what Judas does. At least Judas admits he knows Jesus, doesn't he? Peter says, I don't even know this guy's name. And then you have that very riveting, dramatic line, and then Jesus turned and looked directly at him. And then Peter runs away weeping. We read this, a text like this, and it's hard for us to imagine this Peter of Good Friday as the same Peter of Pentecost. And we have to ask ourselves, how did Peter get from point A to point B? How did he get from the Peter of Good Friday running away weeping to Pentecost, where he stands in front of crowds and tells the good news of Jesus Christ? In other words, how does he get from a disciple to an apostle? And the answer we always come up with is repentance, right? It's what Lent is all about. And repentance is an easy thing, at least we think. Because it's easy, right? This is repentance. I say to God, I'm sorry, and then God forgives my sin. And automatically, this is just the way anybody thinks, this is what we think. So my part is saying I'm sorry, and then God's part is forgiving our sin, so we both have these parts. See? So we're both cooperating in this whole process of being forgiven. And it seems to be biblical, right? I mean, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sin, he forgives. In fact, we really don't even question so much that we have a part to play in this whole process. We just assume that we do. The question that we often bring up is, what is that part? And we tell ourselves, repentance is not just saying that we're sorry, it means actually turning your life around, right? And changing that life. That all sounds right. It's not right. Repentance is just like salvation and just like forgiveness. It is a gift of God and nothing less. And that's what's wonderful about this text, because it makes it so clear. In this text, we see the first step of Peter going from point A to point B. We see the first step of Peter going from a disciple who follows to an apostle who Jesus can actually send out. Because at this point, I wouldn't want to send this guy out, would you? With any kind of news, let alone good news. Now, You experienced the same thing I did when you learned how to ride a bike, right? Eventually, Dad says, training wheels got to come off, and you're like, okay. And he takes the training wheels off, right? And he says, okay, I'm going to hold on to the seat and run alongside you. And I go, okay, but don't let go. He goes, I won't let go. And so away we go. And I'm going, and I'm going, and I'm going. And I'm turned to talk to my dad, because obviously he's there, to tell Dad how great I'm doing, and he's about a block and a half back, right? At which point, I wipe out and smack my head on the ground. And I go back to Dad and say, hey, you said you weren't going to let go. And he says, but that's the only way you're going to learn balance. Now, a few hours before this text, Peter thought he had all the balance in the world, right? I mean, all throughout his ministry with Jesus, what's he doing? He's arguing with the other disciples about who is the greatest. And that being the case, who do you think he's the greatest? He's the greatest, right? And then he says, he doesn't just say, I'm not going to deny you. He says, I'm sure all the rest of them will deny you, but I never will. I'm balanced. So what happened is Jesus allowed Peter to fall to teach him not the lesson that my father was teaching me, the lesson of balance, but to teach him the lesson that you're never going to be able to be balanced on your own. Two things happen in this text that transform Peter's life. The first is unwritten and the second is written. The unwritten one, as we already mentioned, Jesus allows him to fall. We do not see Peter turning his life around in this text. We see him destroying his life. We don't see him rebuilding his relationship with Jesus. We see him denying his relationship with Jesus. We don't see him getting better. We see him getting worse. The second thing that happened is Jesus looked at him. Now, this is important. You know, Peter would have never turned into someone who could have been sent out with good news if he hadn't have been allowed to fall, and fall bad. We look at this text and we hear very clearly, what does Jesus say, or God say, God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What did the lost sheep do to get found? It got lost. That's the only thing it did. What did Peter do to get transformed? He fell and denied knowing Jesus. That's what he did. And then Jesus turns and looks directly at him, and he's looking directly at the disciple who he loved, the disciple who just betrayed him and denied him, but he's also looking at the person for whom he is going to give his life. This is a penitential season. It's a time for us where we do repent and understand truly what that means. And it doesn't mean simply saying to God that we're sorry. It doesn't mean turning our lives around, which on our own we can't do. It doesn't mean, worst of all, making ourselves better, because we don't get better. It means admitting something that is always true and always has been true, that we are simply a corpse that in faith can finally admit that we're dead. And know that Jesus, when he looks at us, he sees our sin, but he also sees the person for whom he is going to die. We see that Jesus, the only one who could save us, did save us. And we see that Jesus gave his life, he did it for us, but he did it so that he could give his life to us. I pray that this is a wonderful penitential season where we really do understand clearly that the only life we have is the life of the Savior who came to give his life. And that's truly the only way we can repent and rejoice during this penitential season as we look forward to Good Friday. And know that the Savior who still sees us and still loves us still lives. In Jesus' name, amen.